Hello and welcome back to The Culture. Today we are going to recap and finish off our episode on Thelema and OTO. Mark, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling nervous about this one.
Yeah.
You've given me many a warning, and I feel like we should give the listeners a warning.
Right. So this is going to talk about some adult and explicit elements. So just, you know, listener beware.
In a very professional way.
We will do our best to keep it PG-13.
13. The new PG-13.
Right. Okay. So let me take you back into this space. Because remember last episode we talked all about like kind of the founder and the basic beliefs. And then we were getting into their main ceremony. But we got caught up because we were laughing about...
You were laughing.
You were laughing,
You were being
too.
Incredibly insensitive, and you were laughing.
Listen, the way you said it made me laugh. So we were laughing about the priest popping out of a tomb.
Popping.
So we're going to set the scene again, set the stage, and get back into what that service is like. So again, remember, we have the big altar facing the east in Bullskin, Scotland, and there's a super mega altar on top. Remember this?
Mega. Yes.
Okay, so on this has the priest's robe and a crown on top of it. On top of the super altar is the stele of revealing, and there's candles. Below that is the book of the law with 6 candles. Below that is something they call the Holy Grail, spelled G-R-A-A-L. I have no idea what it is. I tried to look it up. Couldn't really figure it out.
No images, no nothing, huh?
Mm-mm.
Playing that one close to the vest.
And there's roses on each side of the Holy Grail. There's also room up there on the super mega altar for the paten. Paten? I don't know really how you say it, but it's basically the plate on which they're going to put the Eucharist, or, you know, what a lot of people would call communion, like the communion bread.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's like the plate that they put it on. Then there's 2 great candles on each side of those roses. And again, this is all enclosed within a veil.
It's so hard to try and, like, I'm trying to imagine this in my mind from every religious practice that I've ever seen or images from around the world and stuff. And it's kind of kitchen sink-esque.
Yes.
Like it's so, like, you're not putting this ceremony together in 5 minutes.
Oh no, it's extremely detailed. It is extremely regimented. They have all these rules about like the size and dimensions of the altars, the colors of the things. It's all very symbolic. Like when I was reading it, and it makes sense, a lot of it actually reminded me of the tradition I grew up in the sense that it follows the same kind of structure of our service because it's modeled after the liturgy, basically, or the mass, like a Catholic mass.
Yeah, he took that part from it, right?
So right. But then I read this thing from the OTO website, which said actually it was specifically modeled off the Russian Orthodox mass, which is similar to my tradition. So it makes sense that a lot of the things are kind of similar and maybe like
the bones,
the basic elements,
yeah.
But like, yeah,
not
obviously.
not the execution.
No, not
yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So we've got the high altar. Then if you recall, we have that altar of incense, which is a small black square altar that is made of superimposed cubes. And then there's a font on top of that. So like a little, area that you can put water in. Like a baptismal font kind of thing. And then there's the tomb. Remember the good old tomb?
Yep.
Now, in what I was reading, a lot of this sounds like they're really focused on like sacred geometry. Like they put a lot of detail into the angles of things and they're very specific about it. They think that these mean things or elicit, I don't know, divinity or something.
That's a thing, right? Mm-hmm. In multiple
lots of
religions,
pagan traditions.
I feel like I've seen that before where they their drawings and stuff like that, like things have to face a certain way, and there's a very
yes,
it's very ordered.
Yes, yeah, like a pentagram, you know, that the five star, like that's part of their sacred geometry and stuff. And we'll talk about it, but they do all these like hand movements and like weird feet movements that are meant to point in certain directions because they have to be in this very specific way while the priest and priestess are doing these services and rituals.
It's a lot. It seems like there's a lot of, I'm going to tell you what to do and you're going to do it exactly like I say. Like, I feel like there's a, like, in a way it kind of keeps you engaged in what's happening, but also you're not going to be able to go do this on your own.
Oh, no,
like,
no, yeah.
Like, we need to keep you in, and sort of very similar to, like, even a lot of early churches, like, they didn't know how to read in the language, and that was awesome for the priest because now you have to come here.
Right.
You're not going to be able to do this. Yeah, which it sounds like that's kind of similar.
Yeah, I mean, it is detailed, to say the least. Like, there is so much information on this. So, okay, so there are different people that are part of the service, and I've talked about this a little bit before, but I'm going to reiterate it. So there's the priest, who he is the one who holds the sacred lance. A lance is like a sword.
Like Lancelot.
Sure, yeah. And he's wearing a plain white robe in the beginning. So the priest has the lance and is wearing a plain white robe. This is when he's in the tomb, before he's going to
pop
say,
out.
Peek-a-boo.
Yeah.
So the lance should be, according to this website, straight and at least two-thirds of the height of the priest, should have a wooden or metal shaft and a metal head.
Okay.
Medieval. Things are going to get really, like, innuendo-y here with this lance.
By design or by interpretation?
By design. Sexually innuendos.
Okay.
Okay.
I can kind of see where it's going.
Right. Okay.
Doesn't need to be stated.
It does, though. Okay. So the priestess has to be a virgin. Already making this real weird.
Mm-hmm.
Or specially dedicated to service of the Great Order. I don't know what that means, but that's what the website says. She wears white, blue, and gold, and she bears the sword from a red girdle, and she's the one that holds the paten and the communion, which they call the cake of light, which we will get to.
It's the priestess.
This is the priestess slash virgin.
Okay.
Then you've got the deacon. He's the dude that like says a lot of this stuff, and he wears white and yellow, and he holds the book of the law. Remember that was the book that Crowley wrote. And then there are these people who are like the new Thelemites. They're learning, and they're called the children. And they wear white and black. And one has a pitcher of water and a cellar of salt. And the other has like a censer, like, you know, for like incense, and a casket of perfume.
A lot of things on the checklist here.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
You need a lot of volunteers to run this service.
Yeah, you need at least, what, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five people at least. Okay, so let's get into the actual ceremony. Let's take a deep breath.
I'm ready.
Get ready. Okay. So deacon is going to open the door. He's going to let the congregation in, and he's going to stand between that small black altar and the font. He advances and bows before the shrine where the grail is exalted. Again, I don't really know what this grail is, but they're exalting it. He then kisses the book of the law 3 times. He opens it and he places it on the altar, and then he turns to the west. Then he says the proclamation of the law, which was do what thou will, basically.
I remember that.
Yeah.
So we're
and then,
saying
and then
it to everyone?
Everyone. And then the congregation is a call and response.
A call
kind of
and
thing.
Response. That's
and they say love is the law, love under will.
Okay.
Okay. So they have this little interaction. Then the deacon goes back to the original spot. He faces the east and does this little, like, hand movement gesture and, body movements, which they call the step and sign of a man and a brother. and everyone's imitating him.
Dancing.
It's like so specific though. Like your fingers have to be in a specific way.
Have you seen it?
No, but I read about it and like it details exactly what you have to do. Like your left foot is facing forward, your right foot is to the side, your hands, you basically have to like make a square with your body. I don't even know. It represents all this symbolic stuff, but again, there's so much of it. Like I can't tell you all about it because this would be a week long of us just talking about this.
Can you stand up and do it?
No.
Please try your best.
I will not.
Okay.
So they do this movement thing and then everyone recites their creed.
Their own.
Okay, yes, but it sounds like, you know, like the Nicene Creed is, I believe in one God, mm-hmm. Father Almighty. It's like the same exact thing, but they just change it for their beliefs. Like it's the same like intonation and everything.
But different words.
Yeah, but similar words to some extent.
They come up with their own creed by themselves?
I mean, they copied the Nicene Creed, right. Just put their own words in it.
I'm saying like every individual person in the congregation.
Oh, no, okay. No.
It's so like it's a congregational response. Creed. Okay, yes. That makes sense. I was like, this is not going to sound very pretty if everybody says their own words. Okay.
Okay, so everybody's saying the creed. Then the Virgin and the children enter, and she gives another thing, movement thing called the greeting of earth and heaven. She then ascends into the high altar where the children wait below. Remember, when I'm referring to the children, these are not children. They're adults that are newer members.
Children in the faith.
Yeah. She places the paten before the grail and she descends with the children following her. Okay, here we go.
I really want to see that grail.
We'll look it up after. So then she starts to move in a serpentine manner. So I don't know what exactly that means. Maybe she's slithering around on the floor like a snake. Like that's what I want to see.
That can't be the thing.
No, it can't be. I'm guessing it's maybe more it's sensual like
flowy,
and kind of like
flowy. Like yeah. You're like the wind.
She basically moves around the temple 3.5 times.
As we're attempting to do it as we sit here right now, we're looking super weird.
We're all moving our shoulders.
Yeah, looking super
get
weird.
Some shoulder action
I don't
in there.
Think it looks like what we're doing, but okay.
I want it to be her laying on the floor, slithering around like a snake.
That's a harder sell.
But that would be the best to see.
It would be the best to see.
Like
it's a one and done. It's a one and done.
To do the worm.
It's a one and done, though. Like, okay, I'm done. I got to leave.
Yeah. Okay.
So 3.5 times.
All right. So then she draws her sword. And she pulls down the veil. This is when she tells the priest to arise. And she puts away her sword. And the priest is going to come out of the tomb. Okay? When he's coming out of the tomb, he has the lance. This was the words they used. Erect with both hands, right over left, against his chest. And he takes 3 regular steps. That's what it says.
Opposed to irregular steps.
Yeah, I guess. Okay. Then he gives the lance to the priestess and gives 3 what they call penal signs, P-E-N-A-L.
They love the 3.
They love 3 and 11.
They're big on the 3.
They love 11 too. Huh. Again, they're doing these hand gestures. And it makes sense because this stuff is based off of, in part, like Freemasonry. And the Freemasons do a lot of those like kind of secret handshakes and like, I don't even know those kinds, but it's based off that to an extent. All right. Now the priest says, I am a man among men. And he takes his lance and he lowers it. And then he rises and he says, how should I be worthy to administer the virtues to the brethren? Okay. And now our priestess is going to take the water and salt from the children. Remember, they're holding those. She's going to mix them in the font. All right, she's mixing it and mixing. And then she blesses the priest with this mixture. And then the priestess basically brings the censer and puts incense throughout the temple.
That the other child of the faith was holding.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, if you think about this, like, this in many ways represents, like, a mass, like, The priest has a censer.
Similar elements, yeah. For sure.
Okay, so after she senses the temple, the deacon takes the consecrated robe from the high altar and he brings it to her, which this robe is of scarlet and gold.
Nicer than what she had on before.
Well, this isn't for her. It's for the priest. So the priestess takes it. She puts it on the priest. And then they also crown him. But these are two kind of little separate mini rituals within this service.
So he's got a royalty. Mm-hmm. Got his scarlet. And he's got his crown on.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. Well, that was a great episode. Nope. That was the end.
Nope. Things are going real crazy real quick. Okay. So now the priestess kneels before the priest. Okay, she takes the lance and she starts stroking it with her hands up and down in a very, you know, suggestive manner 11 times.
There's the 11.
Uh-huh. Then everyone gives a hailing sign. Okay, so we're starting to get into the, you know, the sexually, like the sexualized suggestive elements of this.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So then they say more stuff. They say all these, you know, benedictions kinds of things. And then he puts the priestess upon the altar where the children and deacon are behind. And she has the book of the law in, like, upon her chest. The priest then kisses the book of the law, which is on her chest. And then they take the lance from the deacon, and he goes around the temple 3 times. So there's lots of, like, walking around, kissing things.
And everyone in the congregation's just watching.
Yeah. Okay, then the deacon and children kneel and join their hands palm to palm and raise above their heads. I don't know if it's, like,
sitting in a, like a high five?
Yeah, like a... Yeah. High five on each side like this, or if they're like this, like praying hands above their head. I don't know if they're joining hands with themselves or
I think others. It's the high five.
Okay, probably.
High five above the heads.
Okay. All right. So then the priest says that whole thing about knew it and had it. Remember the like goddesses of time and space?
Yes, from the beginning. Yes. The origin story.
Right, so he is, like, talking about this whole thing. And while this is happening, the priestess, remember, she's up on the altar. She takes off her robe.
Okay, so she's just standing there?
She's sitting there.
Sitting, okay.
She's naked.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the priestess says this whole thing about her basically being the embodiment of pleasure and all this.
A lot of symbolism going on.
Mm-hmm. The priest says more kinds of benedictions and things, and then they say something in another language. I couldn't really tell what language it is in. It didn't look familiar to me.
It's odd, especially coming from, yeah, from Scotland, right?
Right.
And then if it's not Italian.
Maybe it's Latin? I don't know.
That would be my guess.
Yeah.
But they also spent time in Egypt.
Yeah. I literally have no idea what it was. Like, it didn't look familiar at all. Okay. So then the priestess says, there is no law beyond do what thou wilt. Okay. Again, they're saying their ideas. Then the priest parts the veil with his lance. So he cuts it with his sword. Okay, so then the priest presents the lance to her. Again, she kisses it 11 times. She holds it to her chest, and then he starts kissing her body.
And everyone's just watching.
Yeah.
Starting to get weird.
Specifically her chest area. He's starting kissing her chest.
Okay.
Everybody, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the deacon is saying a bunch of things. Again, it's this call and response thing. So, like, I don't know if you've ever been to a Catholic service or an Orthodox service, but, like in a typical, like, they have these things called the litanies where, like, it'll be like, Lord, like, bless the land and bless the people of the land and whatever. And then everybody will say, like, Lord, have mercy or something like that. Well, this is a similar kind of thing that's happening in this part of the service. But what the congregation is responding with is, so mote it be. Have you ever heard of the word mote? M-O-T-E?
No. I mean, mote, like around a castle.
Yeah, but that's M-O-A-T.
Right. I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, they're doing this whole litany, and now it is time for the Eucharist or the communion. Here's where we're going to get level 10 weird.
I don't know that I want to know.
Well, we're almost done. We're almost done. Okay. So they as the priest and the priestess, they keep on touching this chalice thing and the paten with the lance. And they keep on touching it. And they're saying, by the virtue of the rod, be this the bread of God. Got some rhyming.
At least it rhymes.
Yeah.
Put some thought into it.
Yeah. And then they do the same thing, and they say, by the virtue of the rod, be this the blood of God or whatever. Okay. So then he does these, blessings. He's, trying to turn this stuff into God, just communion would be. Then the priest starts interacting with her body.
Okay.
Again, he's kissing her on her chest. She is nude. And then he strikes his own breast with the lance. And I'm pretty sure it's supposed to draw blood.
It says draw blood?
I remember in one thing that I read that it's supposed to draw blood, yeah.
Well, this is unsanitary.
you just wait. Okay, so then they say again the law of Thelema. And then he takes the cup. He makes a cross on the priestess, which I don't know what that means. In this thing it says he takes the cup, and then it says makes, and there's a little symbol of a cross. But I don't know what this means. So it says he takes the cup, makes cross on the priestess, drains it, and returns it. So then it says he rises, he takes the lance, and he turns to the people, and he says, there is no part of me that is not of the gods.
It's so scripted.
Yeah.
Every single, yes. No interpretation, no different words. I mean, I know,
I don't think so.
You already know what you're going to get.
Yeah. I don't know why you would come back.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
I mean, that part of it.
I mean, from what I know, I don't think there's a message afterwards. I don't think there's a sermon.
It's a ceremony. It's not even a service. It's a ceremony that has the same.
And I really have no idea what this means when it says he takes the cup, makes cross on the priestess. I think this is some weird stuff that we don't want to get into.
I don't think you want to know.
Okay, well, here's the last thing that you need to know about this group.
I don't need
to know. Well, you're going to know. And everybody needs to know.
I'm bracing myself. Okay.
Okay.
Let's do it quick, like a Band-Aid.
Okay. So the cake of light, remember, mm-hmm. this is their communion.
Mm-hmm.
It specifies that there needs to be some kind of bodily fluid in
don't,
there.
Don't do that.
It is, no. though. There is, though. So typically it has
careful
menstrual blood in it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because it specifies that it should be blood, and typically the blood of the moon, or preferably, which they interpreted as that. Mm-hmm. And they all eat it.
Stop.
I'm not kidding. The congregation eats it.
Well, let's not. That's too far.
Right. Well, they don't think so. So if they can't have that, they can have male fluid in there.
You don't win either way. It's a lose-lose. Well, you're in this, so it's a lose-lose-lose.
Well, I think that they think it makes them connected to God.
Okay, so it's a connection.
Yeah.
I don't want to know where it comes from.
Comes from I'm pretty sure the priestess, if it's the blood.
I don't want to know the details. I don't. Yeah. I don't want to know the recipe.
It has honey in it.
Doesn't make honey it, and that oil. Does not make it any better. That might make it worse. Okay, keep going.
Well, that's it.
And then,
And then they all eat it, and then it's done.
We went from, I don't even know. This just jumped a lot of levels.
I told you.
And I saw, and for those of you that aren't following our Instagram, which you should.
At the.cultcult.ure on Instagram.
And I saw the picture of the guy.
Yeah.
And I saw the picture of the area.
Yeah.
Not what I was thinking.
What were you thinking?
I don't know. More pomp and circumstance and
you don't think
more
he looked
legitimate.
Pomp?
He looked ridiculous.
Well, yeah.
And that's not how I saw it ending. That's a weird show to go to.
Yeah. So, remember, I heard about this in my class.
And he went.
Yes, my classmate went. He did not participate in the Cake of Light,
but
said.
He saw the whole thing?
Yes.
Could he confirm that that's all
that's
that happened?
That's what he said. That is how I learned about this.
But what you've read...
Yes,
it
matches.
Is the exact same thing that he said. So this is not an account. This is not one person trying to bash this group. This is
coming from their own
documents, I know, but you never
documents,
know with the
internet. Though. No, it is. It's coming from their own things.
And
you can tell
he sat through it? Did he stay till the end?
Well, he mentioned this part.
Should have asked him about the slithering around.
Dang it, I know. Well, I don't know his freaking name anymore.
How do you sit through that? I mean, you're like the expert in this. Are you sitting through that?
Oh, yeah. I'm watching that. I'm taking notes too, baby.
You can't unsee that.
Right. But if you're a weirdo like me, it's fascinating to you.
There's a difference between fascinating and what that was.
I mean, listen, I was trying to say in that mini episode that we have, our fun size, you know, I just think things that are different are interesting to learn about. Like, I genuinely enjoy learning about it.
It doesn't hurt your stomach?
No.
My stomach hurts right now.
I mean, the Cake of Light part, it's a little excessive. For
and,
me,
and,
personally.
And
you
the
know?
Priest-priestess interaction.
Yeah, there was a lot of touching. And it also kind of grosses me out personally that she's supposedly this virgin and then she's being...
violated.
Touched.
Yeah. Did you tell me how much you ramped it down?
I didn't. I was typing this and I didn't want to write exactly word for word what they were saying.
But you got the whole ceremony in there.
Yeah.
You just changed some vocabulary.
Well, I didn't talk about every single statement they say.
Right.
Because
but
it's
that's
kind
right.
Of
repetitive, right. And then what? They just all leave and go back to life?
I guess.
This happens how often?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure how frequently it happens.
Because that's a big deal.
But I know that Crowley said, they should be participating in ritual, frequently.
If this is a once-a-year thing,
I don't think it's
a little easier for me to understand. I'm still not down, but it's easier to understand.
Yeah.
If this is weekly,
there's
a lot going on there.
Yeah. I just don't understand. Yeah, I don't know if there's a sermon or what happens after, but if there isn't, wow, it's so repetitive, you know? I don't know why you would attend more than once.
And you're not really using the Book of the Law for anything productive. You're kissing it.
Yeah.
Multiple. You're not
venerating
but you're
it.
You're not I mean, I guess you're doing benediction and stuff like that, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I guess, you know what? The lens I probably have is the Western lens.
Well, yeah, you have
anyway,
a Protestant lens.
Right, so it just, it doesn't make any sense. But it doesn't mean right or wrong, it's just different.
Mm-hmm.
So give me the, where are they at today?
I mean, they're all around the world. There's celebrities that are associated with it.
Ceremonies are taking place every day.
I don't know how frequently. It's a good question. I really don't know. I doubt it's happening every day, but I bet it's more frequent than we think.
As is most things in the world.
And the funniest thing is that the first ever Gnostic Mass that took place, guess where it happened?
I don't know.
Take a guess.
Scotland.
Nope.
Egypt.
No.
Italy.
A city.
Oh, I don't know.
Hollywood.
Oh, that weirdly makes some sense.
They're just, I feel like Hollywood and LA in general is just like a place of seekers.
I mean, it's Holly Weird, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So
if you need a home, that's the place to go find it.
Yeah.
How do you rank this one? Let's turn the tables.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't think it's scary. Like, I would be a little spooky, especially when they start like chanting in that other language that I wouldn't recognize. And some of this stuff, like, especially if I was alone in this temple.
That's a different situation too, right? You feel like you're vulnerable by yourself versus...
Right, like if I was with a friend who had been there before or something.
Like that guy from your class. Yeah. He took you back for round two.
Sam, can I get to ride? Yeah. I would feel better, but I don't know enough, but I don't think they're doing anything like violent. So I don't think it's that spooky. I think it's weird.
Odd.
In the sense that it's like, wow, that's an interesting practice that you're doing.
It's a
you know what I mean?
Take on that.
Yeah, like,
never
okay,
seen the Eucharist perform that way.
Right. Different body and blood, I guess.
Sure.
So I think it's, it's on the out there factor, but I don't think it's, I don't consider it like scary because.
No, I mean, there's no violence.
Right. Listen. If people want to eat things with things in it, they are welcome
I mean,
to do so.
They do.
Right. So
I think that there are much more odd cultural practices that take place
for sure.
Every day around the world.
Right.
This is an odd one for me living in where I live.
Right.
But you're right.
It's like YOLO. It's their idea. Do what you want.
Do what you want. You're not right. technically harming anybody else as long as consent is all
exactly,
good in
exactly.
there. Then do your thing.
Right. Got to find their true will.
You do you. And no one else can tell you.
You do you, boo-boo. That was Aleister Crowley's
That was
message.
His motto. Paraphrase, but yes.
Yeah. So I think it's a – I just think it's a really – fascinating one, and it's kind of old but still newish, and people are still doing this. I just like to know what's the demographics of these participants that are like hardcore Thelemites.
No documentaries, no nothing.
I mean, I didn't listen. There's so much out there on this that like I couldn't dedicate enough time to like. Because like I said, there's like a million words that I didn't even know what they meant. So I had to spend a lot of time just trying to understand what these things meant to research it. So I don't know.
It would be nice
would
to hear
it,
from
though.
The people that are in it.
Well, like I'm saying, though, a lot of the sources, which we will list in our episode notes, a lot of the sources were written by Thelemites.
Yeah, I need like the
you
real
want a video.
I want like the real world like. Confessional style shot where it pans away and then they start talking about what's going on or what they're thinking. I don't know. Something about that seems more real than when you just write it down.
Yeah.
Need emotion attached to it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to rate this one. This is the deep end. I was trying to doggy paddle and you shoved me off the diving board and I'm trying to swim. Yeah. But it's good. Shock therapy.
There you go. We're going to desensitize you.
Yeah. It next week. You know, maybe we'll be somewhere in the middle.
We'll see.
Okay. Well, all right. Oh, that should be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. So that is it for our episode on Thelema. We would love it if you would please like and subscribe our Instagram at the.cult.ure. Also, please subscribe to us on Apple or Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you can, please leave us a rating and a review. It would help us tremendously. And we hope you enjoyed, and we hope you join us next week for another dose of the culture Kool-Aid. See you next time, cult fam.
See ya.